You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Bernadette Peters.
Hey, I'm Anissa Foles.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Fergie L. Philippe.
Hi, I'm Eliza Ullman.
Hola, soy Florencia Cuenca.
Y yo soy Jaime Lozano.
Hi, this is L. Morgan Lee.
It's Alex Brightman from Broadway and beyond.
Hi, this is Joe Iconis.
And this is Lauren Marquez.
Y estás escuchando.
And you're listening to
B-Way Show.
B-Way Show.
B-Way
Show.
The podcast.
Hey, friends. Welcome to B-Way Show, the podcast. Your home for theater conversations from a passionate Broadway fan and reporter. I'm your host, Shoshana, and I want to start off by emphasizing Black Lives Matter, period.
The show must go on!
This week's guests are Austin Scott and Alexa Cepeda. Austin made his Broadway debut as Alexander Hamilton in Hamilton after starring in the role on the Angelica Tour. He then went on to originate the role of Joe Scott in Girl from the North Country, which opened on Broadway just before the shutdown. Alexa is an actor, singer, playwright, and lyricist. She's currently working on her two-person musical, Room 123, and is the founder and host of Broadway Treats, a benefit concert organized to raise funds for Animal Lighthouse Rescue. Enjoy our conversation from September 4th, recorded for my live YouTube series, The Show Must Go On, Line. Enjoy.
We are live! Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Show Must Go On, Line. Today's guests are Austin Scott and Alexa Cepeda. How are y'all doing today?
Great.
We're awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming on. It's been really fun when you see people perform and you meet them in person and then you're kind of just like following their journeys. And you're like, I'd love to hear more about how they got started and how the two of them met. So why don't we just jump right in and let's hear your origin stories. How did you both get into music and theater and then like how y'all met?
We'll go first.
Thanks first.
Okay. I started singing and dancing when I was really young, but I really got involved in theater by going to some incredible performing arts camps growing up, Cherubs, the National High School Institute, Tap Camp in Austin. And then I got my BFA in musical theater from Ithaca College. And I lived in Philly for a year, and then I've been based in New York City for 2 years now. Wow, time flies. So that's me. I'm an actor primarily, but I write musicals and songs and I sing as well. So yeah. That's me.
And I grew up in the Bay Area. So that's Northern California. I got started pretty young too. I think I joined like a children's choir when I was like 6 and started taking acting classes around like 7. And then kind of my whole childhood was like a combination of, you know, auditioning and doing independent films and commercials and things like that, community service, maybe a little bit of community service, but mostly community theater, stuff like that. And, you know, I kind of did improv all throughout high school and, you know, did one of the school musicals. And then after high school, I ended up moving to LA, spent a few years out there doing a few more like TV things, a few more musical theater things in production and development. and eventually made my way to New York with a show that I developed in LA called, it was called Inappropriate the Musical, then it became One Day when it went off Broadway in New York, and did a few other things, eventually moved to New York officially. Like when I did the off-Broadway thing, I kind of was just there for a few months and then ended up coming back to LA and then found my way back full-time and eventually booked the first national tour of Hamilton. It was definitely like my big break. And then did that for a year, did a year on Broadway as well, playing Alexander Hamilton. And then recently in December of last year, I decided to step away from Hamilton for a little while and join the original Broadway company of Girl from the North Country on Broadway. So we had just opened 4 days, I think, before the Broadway shutdown. So we just kind of got in under the buzzer. But yeah, that's what I was doing when Broadway shut down. I also was recently on Pose, season two of the FX series Pose. So, yeah.
And we met.
And we met doing another Lin-Manuel show called In the Heights up in Ithaca, New York, in the Hangar Theater.
Look at Lin just kind of connecting y'all, then helping you get that big break.
Right. Right. Yeah, much love to that.
Have a little Tirico. A little like Lin Tirico heart thing. I like to keep it right here. It's great. It's like that stress ball. So if I'm ever in an interview and I'm like stressed, it's like, ah, Lin's just right here smiling.
I love that.
Yes. So, you know, it's so interesting how a lot of people found out about the shutdown and being on Broadway, especially having just opened. Like, how did you find out? And now we're what, in September, which is crazy. And here we are.
Yeah. I mean, we were hearing about it for like, I don't know, a couple of weeks coming up to it. You were hearing things, I was hearing things. Like there were a lot of rumors, I feel like, going around, but it was kind of like some people were in the camp of like, this is really, really serious. And like, what could this mean for Broadway? And other people were like, you know, this is just going to be another one of those things that like gets a lot of buzz and then ends up just not being a huge deal. But I think the week of when we started seeing like the NBA shut down and, you know, lots of other like sports leagues shutting down and like, you know, concerts going, you know, canceling their,
right.
their runs. And then I think 2 days before we shut down, I got a text from one of my friends in the San Francisco company of Hamilton. And we had said that Hamilton was shutting down. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, wait, so if something is, if like Hamilton, you know, the San Francisco company of Hamilton is shutting down, like something's going on. This is big. So we were kind of just doing the show like every night, not knowing, you know, if we were going to shut down in the middle of it, if we were going to like be able to work the next day. You know, we were always checking our phones backstage, like, trying to stay present. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. I could only imagine. Yeah, it's crazy. I was at Six the night that the NBA shut down. And it's like crazy to think like, cause Six is a pretty short musical. I mean, especially in comparison to like Hamilton and Girl from the North Country. And in the span of like getting to my seat and leaving, everything felt like it changed. A few people, like a few big name people were diagnosed with Corona, and then Broadway was going to shut down the next day. Anyway, it's crazy to think of that. But now, like, how many things are moving forward because we're in this spot? And it's instead of just being like, well, now we're here, let's see how we can, like, kind of move things forward. And Alexa, I want to talk about this amazing Broadway Treats that you founded and you're hosting. And one of the stars is Tony Award winner James Monroe Iglehart, whose birthday is today.
Yes, it is. Happy birthday, James.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I love it, man.
Yes, us too. So tell us how you thought about that and like everything surrounding this amazing event that's coming up.
For sure. Thank you for asking. Well, this year is the second year that I'm doing it. So last year, I mean, I was on a run in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and I was trying to brainstorm a project that I could do that summer because at that time, I hadn't booked anything, and I was really trying to come up with a creative way to perform and also to network and get myself more just in the world of Broadway. Yes. And I had just started volunteering for this animal shelter, or excuse me, nonprofit organization called Animal Lighthouse Rescue. And I thought, what better way to volunteer than to raise a whole lot of money for them using my connections? Because Austin at this point had been, So you were on Broadway at that point. I was starting to meet his castmates and go to a few events, and I thought that would just be a perfect marriage of two of my greatest passions, which is rescuing animals and theater and performing. So we did it last year at the Seville, at this downtown swanky little spot in Lower East Manhattan. And I had the goal to raise $5,000, and we just far surpassed that. We raised $22,000, which was really exciting.
Wow.
I know. I was shook. And it was a lot of fun. And I connected with a lot of incredible people. And, you know, when the shutdown happened, I had already been planning to do this event again this year. And for a while, I didn't know if it was going to happen because in March and April and May, no one really knew anything. So I was kind of just biding my time, thinking maybe it'll be up and running by October or November, September. And anyhow, we're here now, and it's clear that in-person events like that are not happening. And then I realized what an incredible opportunity this is, because I can actually reach out to performers who don't necessarily live in New York. So we have a couple LA-based actors, which is really exciting. And it's a really great way for people who can't make it to New York to tune in and be a part of it. So yeah, I can tell you all of when it is. It's September 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ALR's YouTube page. If you go to alrcares.com/Broadway Treats, they have a link there for the tickets. It's $50. If you can't make it, you can donate. And it's going to be just a phenomenal event. It's going to be a combination of learning all about ALR and what they do. They rescue Satos and Cass from Puerto Rico. And just these performers are unbelievable. I am completely humbled by the generosity of everyone who said yes. And yeah, I'm just very, very excited to be able to do it again and raise money for a beautiful cause, in my opinion. And I think right now, I think it can be easy to, I don't know, just to hone in on how badly we are doing when we're not the only ones on the planet. We share it with a lot of other living beings, including plants and trees and wildlife and animals. That's the piece of it that, I don't know, that always makes me feel grounded in my values too, that we're not just looking out for ourselves, but we're looking out for animals as well, who need safety and comfort as much as we do.
Beautifully said. Yes, I have this adorable dog, Slim, who will come hopefully in and out of the video, and he's really become my co-host of the series, because everyone, it's like the second he comes on that couch, everyone's like, wait, forgot about you.
It's the main event here.
And I'm very much okay with it, because exactly like what you're saying is he's been there for me this whole pandemic. And if I didn't have him cuddle and take care of, and especially early on when, you know, sometimes like getting out of bed or like, oh, do I really want to go outside for a walk? He needs to be fed. He needs to go for a walk. He needs to do his business. Like, so it's not just about me taking care of myself. It's about taking care of someone else. And that was, I mean, having him was the best thing that like got me going. And so I completely feel that. Do you have any similar feelings with that?
Oh my gosh. I could just talk about this forever. All these poems about dogs are coming to mind. I mean, I really think for me, dogs specifically, I do love cats as well, but dogs are really my, really a spiritual thing for me. But they are just constant reminders to be in the present moment, because that's the only state that they know to live in. Yeah. And they really are just beautiful permission to love unconditionally, and just everything quiets down and you've just got this buddy, you know, that needs you as much as you need them. Yeah, I just really, really love dogs and animals. We just got Milo, and
the cutest thing in the world.
I am, Austin keeps going, it's really bad. I need to like check myself, but Austin keeps going like this because I'm a helicopter pet parent, and I never thought I would be. But I don't want any harm to come to him. I would be in front of a train for this cat. But anyhow, we're in kind of like honeymoon pet parent world.
He's right, our little man.
He's our little man, poor boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Does he just kind of like cuddle up with you when you're watching TV?
He's getting there. Yeah. Like he's kind of in that like preteen slash like early teenager phase. He just wants to run and like chase things and eat flies and, you know, do crazy things.
He does. He cuddles up when he's sleepy. I mean, he's very dog-like actually. Yeah. Like he'll like run down the stairs when we get home, and he throws himself at our feet and cry. I miss you so much. And then he like headbutts you in the morning, or he does that to me because I feed him in the morning.
Yeah.
He's absurdly sweet, and he does cuddle in our laps every once in a while, especially if the vacuum is.
He hates the vacuum.
Hates the vacuum.
But no, he's just he's one of the sweetest cats I've ever seen. Like he just, you know, he'll let you pick him up, and like when he doesn't want to be held, he'll be like, yeah. It's like, not right now, but later maybe. He's just so sweet.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. And it's funny because I am such a dog person, but I'm like warming up to cats. I'm like pretty allergic to them. So I feel like there was this evolutionary setback of me and cats getting along. But I've actually lived with a few cats, kind of when your roommates have them and they're like, well, I'll just keep them in my room. But then they come out and you're like, well, they're really cute and I don't want to stay separated from you.
Well, I'm actually allergic to cats, which part of the reason I do the benefit concert in the first place is because I can't rescue cats. Milo is a very bougie, sweet little Siberian kitten who we did not rescue off the street. But that's part of why I do the benefit concert is because I can't rescue a cat in that way, but I can rescue a cat in other ways, and every cat needs a home. And if you have the situation or the condition of being allergic, like myself, you get a hypoallergenic cat and you bring a bundle of fur into your life, and it's just as amazing. I mean, I love this cat, and I'm not a big cat person. I'm scared of how I'll be with dogs.
Because I'm the cat person in the relationship. And like I'm getting on board with dogs vis-a-vis Glenn. He's getting on board with cats vis-a-vis me. So like,
vis-a-vis Milo, really. But
well, yeah, I guess
as any good relationship, there's a little give and take, and this is what I love, and this is what you love, and also what you're saying about, you know, everyone plays their part in a different way, and especially now with COVID and everything going on with that, and with Black Lives Matter, everyone can do their part, play a role, and some people can go and march, and some people can donate, and some people can promote it, but just doing what you can, I think, is important.
Absolutely.
That's a really great way of putting it.
There's I might get the terminology wrong, but it's like the circle of activism, I think is what it's called. There's something along those lines. But essentially, it's like there are these multiple different aspects of activism, you know, that you just kind of have to find out where you fit best. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's artistically, you know, like using art to, you know, fight for causes and things like that. Or maybe that's writing, or maybe it's marching, or maybe it's, you know, being political. Like there's so many different spheres within the global sphere of activism, and it's really just figuring out where you can best be of use.
Yes, that is so well said, and like a great thing to keep in mind, that you can play your part in whatever way it like fits you. And right. I think there some people feel guilty if like they can't march or if they can't donate, but you don't have to feel guilty. Just find the avenue that really works for you.
Exactly.
Do what you can, exactly.
So that brings me to Hurricane and your role in Girl from the North Country, which I'm very happy I was able to see before Broadway shut down.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that's
yeah. So cool. My boyfriend John and I saw it in previews, which was awesome. And I guess quick side note, I saw you in Hamilton. It was awesome. He saw you on the road in Hamilton. So it's fun to talk about that. And we'll get to the Hamilton of it all, because isn't that, you know, we always do. But especially thinking of a show with a character like yours, in a time like this where there are so many people being misjudged and accused, and because it is like based off of a real life story, can you talk about what it's like to take that in and perform Hurricane every night when Broadway's on?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that attracted me most to the role and to the show in general, but specifically the role, was the element of like being misjudged by society, you know, having society think you're one thing when you know in your heart that you're not that. And, you know, going through the process of like, how do you fight that? You know, do you make your focus trying to make other people believe that you're not that? Or do you just say, you know what, then I'm just going to, you know, do me and I'm going to be who I know I am. And, you know, you guys can do what you're going to do. But, you know, it was really, really an incredible experience, like getting into his shoes and just really like finding my way into that character and that mindset, you know. And I think it's definitely something that rings especially true now. I mean, for the Black community and the people, you know, color, it always rings true, but especially right now, you know, it's just really just showing that we are fully three-dimensional human beings beyond, you know, a criminal record or, you know, the one thing we did 6 years ago when we stole a book from a store, you know, all that. Because that's one of the things too, right? It's like every time someone, you know, a Black man or a Black person is killed, like the first thing that goes up is their criminal record and like trying to hash out all the things that they've done wrong in the past. And people grow, people change, people are more than, you know, more than just that. And I think that, you know, there's also a really beautiful revolution happening within the Broadway community as well, you know, where we're trying to really fight for more authentic stories that center around, you know, BIPOC artists being told and being greenlit, right? Because, you know, there's so many shows out there and stories that purport to be about the Black experience, about the BIPOC experience, but they're either written by white people or written, produced, directed by white people, you know, and like the theater owners are all white. And so we're really, you know, fighting for that as well. But I think like getting to work on that character felt really, really special, really, really especially timely right now.
You could tell in the audience, like, because that's such a big song, whenever something actually happened, you're seeing it portrayed in this like larger than life on a Broadway stage, but you know that there's also that element of that actually happened to someone, and it's time for change. And just everything, like you said, it's not just having more people of color, more Black people on stage. It's the dressers, it's the producers, directors, writers, set directors, choreographers. And that's such an important thing for people to know, that it's not just enough to see the representation in one aspect, which I think we're getting better at, but there's so much that we need to.
Yeah, because even if you have, you know, a story written by a BIPOC writer, but if it's a white director, then it's like, that's the person trying to tell you what the experience is like, you know. And I've had that happen many times where I'm like, you know, no, this is what it felt like to be a Black person at this time, or, you know, a Black person. I'm like, but how do you know? You know, I respect you and like, you know, your field of work, but it's like, when it comes to that, like, who are you to tell me what that is? And so that's, you know, yeah, it's a full picture thing. You know, it's not just like checking the boxes and saying, okay, we've got, you know, three Black actors in the show, check that box. And we've got one Black writer, you know, that we relegate to the margins, check that box. You know, it's like, it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me wonder, we were just watching The Ham for Change, which was amazing, set up by the original cast, and do you feel like being a part of the Hamilton family and then moving on to other projects that you've learned kind of a different way of the way things could be done on Broadway and in theater?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I mean, Hamilton is incredible because it has done so many incredible things. You know, I mean, it did put so many artists of color on the stage in a way in which the main focus wasn't their race or their ethnicity. Like, they were able to bring that to the role however they saw fit, but they weren't being asked to be black or, you know, or tone it down or, you know, amplify this or, you know, whatever. I will say, though, that even shows like Hamilton still have a lot of work to do. You know what I mean? Because while on stage it was extremely diverse, backstage wasn't. You know, it was still pretty white backstage in all the companies that I, you know, had ever worked in. And that's just, you know, it's a step-by-step thing. And I love Hamilton. I love my Hamilton family so much. I think it's just important to understand that, because so many people often point to Hamilton as this like shining example of like what it should be. That's true, but Hamilton's not all the way there yet either. So it's definitely a thing to look towards and like, you know, emulate, but then it's also a thing to say, okay, we're going to then take it even further to move the needle.
Makes me think of the line, I have so much work to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find yourself quoting Hamilton at all, or is that more of like the fans doing that?
We
don't do that.
we don't allow that in our household. If we are like in a restaurant and the soundtrack comes on, like we check please, we're done.
No, we don't.
No, and it's not that like we hate it, it's just that
I'm forgetting. There was a period when I got really in. There was, I don't know what it was. I think I must have seen it. I probably saw it. Maybe it was after your Broadway debut. And I, you know, the songs get stuck in your head, obviously. And I started singing them around the house a little bit. And you shut that down pretty quickly.
You know, it's just, when you hear things every night, you know, for 2 years, it's just, it burrows a special little thing into your brain. And when you hear it, you're just like, I don't think I need to hear that right now. I'm sure that will change, though, over time. I might go back to the show, so, you know.
Did you see it before you were in it?
Yes, a good friend of mine, well, a family friend, Javier Munoz, was in the original cast. Love him. And so he was the alternate Hamilton, played Hamilton on Sundays. And so I got to go see him. I actually never saw Lynn do the role on stage. Javier was kind of my only prototype or frame of reference. I did see some of the, once I got the role, I got to see a lot of other people do it, but I never saw Lynn. But yeah, I got to see the show, you know, went back and talked with Javier afterwards, and it blew my mind. Like, most people.
Mm-hmm. He was my first Hamilton and only Hamilton.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. How many times did you see him on Broadway or on tour?
I think total I saw you 10 times. I know. The first time it was so bizarre because I was, you know, my brain was split 50-50 or more. I felt more 80-20, honestly. Like 80% I'm watching Hamilton, and then every few seconds it would be like, oh, I know him. And it wasn't even, oh, I know him. It was like, oh, I think I'm dating him. It was such a weird, like, and then I kind of like look around with this little secret, and sometimes I told the person sitting next to me if I was seeing it alone. Especially if it was a younger girl or a younger boy or whatever, I would tell them, you know, and they would freak out, and then they would start yelling with me, and it was so fun. Yeah, I loved it. I was not shy at all about that.
I was so nervous every time she came to see the show, though. Like, no one made me more nervous than having her in the audience.
And I have the loudest laugh, too, which doesn't help. So we always knew where I was sitting. It was a constant reminder, I'm here.
The first joke, I'd hear the laugh, I'd be like, and that's where Alexa, right there, third row. That was enough.
You had your spot.
Yeah.
Would you would you try to avoid looking at her so you'd stay in the moment, or would you like give yourself that little glance?
In general, I try to avoid like singling people out in the audience, whether I knew them or not. You know, I mean, I would see faces, but I just tried to never zoom in on them because it just became more of like it was easier to just make it like energy. Like that is the audience and this is, you know, the stage. And like, I totally draw from that. And like, that is part of the equation, but I don't want to be like, you suck. I'm doing this for you, you know, something like that. Like, and if there was like famous people come to the show, which it was Hamilton, so it happened all the time. Like, I just prefer not know, or not know, at least not know where they were. I didn't want that to like affect, you know, or even just be in my head. Like, I didn't.
Didn't I surprise you once? I did surprise you once, where I saw it and I didn't tell you, but you kind of got it. I'm sorry, that's. But...
I do remember that.
Oh, it was so. That was so fun. Anywho.
That's amazing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, so the first time I saw Austin on stage, Alexa and I met briefly at the stage door. And I have to say, this was such a sweet moment that really, like, I don't know, it's such a nice, like, theater couple story, which is I was at the stage door because even though I'm a theater reporter, I'm also a fan. And it's fun to stage door and take pictures and whatnot. Yes. And I was there and we just started chatting and you're like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's in the show. Like, oh, who? You're like, awesome. I'm like, oh, cool, Hamilton. That's chill. And I'm like, you know, you could go backstage if you wanted to. Wait out here and see him go through the line and greet everyone. I thought that was so sweet.
I do really like that because you are so nice to everyone. And I love everyone gets so excited. Yeah, I'm very proud moment when I watch him go down the line.
You probably had somewhere to go, though. Because usually you do just come straight backstage.
Sometimes I would. Sometimes you'd be like, I'll just meet you outside. Or you would ask me, do you want to come backstage? And I'd say, well, let's just, you know. We'd go down the street and hop in a cab. It was so fun meeting you. You were so sweet. And I remember your boyfriend was with you, right?
Yes. And he is funnily not here because he is very camera shy.
Aww.
But so Hamilton brought us together, which is pretty cool.
How?
We are in like a Hamilton group. It is funny to say this out loud, but so I've seen Hamilton 8 times.
That's like a lot, to be honest. It's like, it's respectable, absolutely. But like, once you get into like the 40 and 50s, then we'll talk about like a true.
So John has seen it 48 times.
I spoke to him.
She was loving it. As you were going on, she was like, this is great.
Just you wait.
Well, he's in great company. Like I talked to, one of the people that came the most was Questlove. You know, Questlove musician. And he's like, apparently I've seen it about 47, 48 times too. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. That's amazing.
What?
John will love hearing that.
Yeah, he's in great company.
Wait, so y'all met in this group?
Yeah, and it's funny because I was in Puerto Rico seeing Lin on his birthday. It was this whole thing because my birthday is 2 days before his, so I was like, might as well celebrate mine and Lynn's birthday at the same time. So we saw it, so good. Funnily enough, who says that? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good word. Phrase. So I'm in Puerto Rico with some friends, and Lin retweets this photo I take of him on stage because he came out for his birthday in his outfit, but then waving the flag. And it was a cool thing because we saw it the evening performance and everyone surprised him for the matinee, so he was ready. It was a really cool moment. And like anytime you get a Lin retweet, it's like,
yeah.
I still freak out when I get a Lin retreat. I'm like, I've met him so many times, and yet still, something about that is just like, ah!
Happy to hear it. And he was going to see Billy Joel that weekend, and he's like, I have an extra ticket if anyone wants to go. And I'm like, yeah, coming back from Puerto Rico in January, it's freezing. I'd love to go see Billy Joel with you. And it's like, we saw that, then we saw Hamilton, and we saw a bunch of different shows. And then he took me to London, Hamilton, for my birthday this past year.
Oh my God, our boyfriend.
Your boyfriend.
For a second, I thought you said that Lynn tweeted, who wants to go see Billy Joel with me? And for a second, I was like,
I know.
Did you see a concert with Lynn?
You also went to England to see the.
Who exactly are they?
Oh my God.
We were on the same train because they were just like, oh, you know Lynn better than I do.
I wish.
That is so cool. That's awesome.
Wow, that's so special.
That's so funny. Yes, this is great. This is going exactly how I planned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
So good. So then, because you've already hinted that Hamilton isn't something y'all really like sing about, have you seen the Hamill film?
Oh, shit. We should have known that.
I've seen this. I've watched some like moments that I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
For me though, kind of the same thing. And like, you know, every actor who's gone through it has like a different feeling about this. But I'm just like, I've seen it so many times. I've lived it so many times. Yeah, I think it's just like it's hard to see it in that way. You know, it's mm-hmm. like. For me to watch in that way. And it's also, I think, it feels like a different era of the show. It's like, yep. I mean, I joined, I don't know, a year and a half, I think, after it was debuted on Broadway, something like that. But that was like when the soundtrack came out and when, like, you know, this was filmed and stuff, like the show kind of had one energy and one, you know, vibe. And not that to say that it's so vastly different now, but I think every actor that has kind of played these roles has added a little something of themselves. Them and you know little things get tweaked, like you know where you stand or gestures or inflection, like there have been things that you know we as actors have gotten to kind of add to the canon of Hamilton, and so it has evolved a little bit over the years. And seeing it back then, it's like that is how it was back then, and it's really incredible. But there, for me at least, is this like disconnect of like watching it or listening to it and like reconciling that with like the Hamilton or like the experience I had being part of it.
I haven't seen it, but I do want to. I just haven't yet. I don't know what this hasn't happened yet.
We're probably going to sit down, just like, you know, have a drink.
In
15 years. There it is. I'm working this weekend. She was,
Amazing time. For me, I want to watch it as like a reminisce type thing. And it was only last year. I feel it's pretty.
That's assuming that I'm not going to be in Hamilton.
That's true. We don't know.
Yeah, I've always wondered with people who've been in the show if they've watched it or what they thought when they watched it, because it is such a different experience. And even having seen the show a bunch of times, it feels like such a different experience watching it, which I love, because people are like, oh, well, if they film all these shows, no one's going to go to Broadway. And you're like, come on, they're two vastly different experiences.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I certainly hope you're right. I think I agree with you. I definitely agree with you, but I do know of that like debate that you're talking about. And I think it's, you know, it is a little bit like scary just thinking like, is that the future? Because now they're going to film Diana, you know, they're Diana and make that a thing. And I do think it's great, but at the same time, I'm like, it's theater. It was like designed to be one thing.
Right.
That you see, and it's, you know, happens in front of you for that like one time. And then of course it keeps happening, but it's slightly different every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you put it on tape, it just something different happens to it. I don't think it's bad, but I think it is important to be like, this is this and this is that.
Yeah. I don't think I was making this face earlier, but it had nothing to do with Diana. I realized you were saying that and I was going like this.
I was like, wow, she's so much shit.
No. I was saying, I don't think theater's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that it's regardless, like there's just something so magical about going to the theater and seeing something live. And no matter how many movie remakes there are, I mean, people are still doing cabaret all over the country, and that movie came out forever ago. And no, I'm just you cannot recapture it.
That's a good point.
At all.
There have been musical films.
Musical films have been around for a while, and it honestly just makes people want to do theater more and see theater more and keep it alive, because
yes.
It's just, you cannot replicate that feeling of being in one room with hundreds, thousands of strangers. You're all watching the exact same thing, and you're all having a completely different experience. I mean, and then the doors open, you go out in the world and you continue on, and you shared that amazing 2.5 hours together, sometimes 3.
Yeah, it's so true. No,
you have no time for
it's
this
real.
Thing of life, and it's gone forever.
I would never say it's gone forever. I just like, as you know, as people figure out ways to make money in different ways,
totally.
Then you know,
right.
They like to make money, so they keep making money. But no, I'm completely on board with you, and I thank you for
always
pulling me back.
Yeah.
I will say, I got to gush on Andy Blankenbuehler for a minute, the choreographer of Hamilton. Like that is one of the reasons why I watched the third of it that I have watched. Mm. And I will watch it again, actually, soon, because his work, all of their work, you know, Lin gets all the credit most of the time, and he deserves so much of it. But it really was, we call them the cabinet. So Lin, Alex Lacamoire, Andy Blankenbuehler, Tommy Cale. You know, those were like the four geniuses really that put this thing together. And it's all of their work that kind of intermingles to create what you see up there. But, you know, something about Andy's choreography and the pictures that he creates and the storytelling, it is amazing.
Amazing.
Like we would have rehearsals every now and then where, you know, the creatives would come and, you know, we'd have like a day with Alex, you know, or a day with Tommy or a day with Andy. And like Andy's rehearsals were always so enlightening, because it was only times that I got to like really step outside and see what was happening around me. And I'd be like, wait, you're doing that up there? And you're doing that up there? Like, that's incredible. It was so like one of my favorite things was like the first time I got to step out of Hurricane and just see like all the stories that are being told around Hamilton as he, you know, as he sings it. It's amazing. So like I will definitely be watching it. For many reasons, but for Andy's work, for sure.
I feel like I've guilted you into watching.
No, you made me think about it, I think. Because I've been asked the question, and usually it's just a quick off, like, you know, not yet. I've watched some pieces, but I will be watching it. But I think this is the first time I've really gotten to, like, dissect it and get into there and really think about why I do actually want to watch it and will. So thank you.
You're welcome. So speaking of Hurricane, as I was listening to you sing Hurricane yesterday from Girl from the North Country, and there's Hurricane from Hamilton, could we ever get a mashup maybe?
Oh my God.
You know what? I had the thought. And I was trying to find a way into it, though.
Okay.
I know, our friend Chandra Halbringfield is like an incredible producer, just like musical genius.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
He could help put that together. But I love that you had that thought, because I did have it too. I was like, the two biggest things I've done in my career so far revolve around Hurricane.
This is an opportunity you have to take.
Yeah.
You would look back at this moment and be like, what was I doing?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Come on now. Igniting all these fires. Yes.
Just fanning a spark into a flame.
Come on now. Yeah. We will allow it.
You said one earlier, I got it. I'm like, oh no.
You had these ready. You have a list of them.
No, they're truly nonstop. I can't help it.
We did it again.
Oh my God.
The funny thing is, I've always done this. I've been a musical theater fan since I was a kid, and my friends used to be like, all right, we get the references. But now that I'm a reporter and I get to, like, say them to the people who have been in the productions, and, you know, you get the half and half, like, some people love it, some people don't. But it feels like this is what I was given that gift for, of just constantly thinking of all of the references.
You're so smooth with it. Like,
you really are.
They just, like, enter into the conversation, and it takes me a minute to be like, that sounds familiar.
Oh.
Excellent.
That's my thought process.
Okay.
I love that. I do something stupid, and she was like,
I'm just going to be saying that the rest of the night. I can't even.
That's not so much.
That's better.
So, speaking of musicals and new work, I hear that a certain someone is writing her own musical.
I am. yes, I am writing a two-person coming-of-age love story called Room 123. Ooh, I've never said it like that. Room 123. Okay, it's loosely autobiographical. I have not done this many times, like the talking about it. So but it centers around Samantha and Charlie. It takes place in Charlie's dorm room over the course of 4 months. So it's snapshots of their relationship. It navigates Charlie's untreated manic depression. So that's really that's the eye of the hurricane.
I'm not good at it.
I like
that's amazing.
Like, I'm sorry. I've maybe done this. So it centers around, it is a two-person musical. The music is, it is actually, if you've listened to my music today, which I can't thank you enough for, it's similar to that, so it's pretty folksy pop, definitely a contemporary musical, and yeah, it's I'm editing. I'm in the editing process at the moment, and it's really exciting to combine. I like to marry things. Clearly, I like to, you know, the benefit concerts, theater, and animals, and musical. Writing this musical has been a marriage of writing and songwriting, which I've done since I was 14 and I love it so much. But also, I'm really, really passionate about psychology and relationships and that in general and understanding them. So writing a musical and that explores, you know, relationships at their hardest, combined with theater and writing, it's been really a fun project.
Ooh, can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
That sounds amazing. And yeah, y'all should definitely check her out on Spotify, because it's such a cool vibe. And you know how Spotify is like, oh, you like this artist, here are some other songs. And it just, like, I was painting my nails before just to this really cool vibe, and I loved it. And Slim was all about it as well.
Oh, cute.
I wish he came back in. I can see him perfectly diagonally. He's just sitting in the sun, laid down, letting the sun quickly hit him.
As he should be.
Best
life, indeed. And I know time is running out, but I want to talk about Pose quickly, because I love Pose, and I realized, like, today would be a great day to rewatch season 2 a little bit. And how did you get that job? Had you watched Pose before? And also, I should mention, I was a lifeguard at my camp, so feeling the lifeguard vibes here.
Right on. I'm happy that I got to represent, you know, you and I do it.
That lifeguard representation.
It's important. I watched, I think, 2 episodes of Pose, I think, before I got it. Loved the show. I thought it was so cool. You know, in many ways, it's doing what Hamilton, you know, did with television. You know, it's revolutionary in a lot of ways. But I watched it. I loved it. I didn't get to audition very much while I was in Hamilton for a number of reasons, you know, some contractual, some just like energy. Like I, you know, was just exhausted all the time. And also like when would I go and shoot things when I was doing shows 7 times a week. But that was one of the few auditions I did get to go on and was lucky enough to get on it, to get to work opposite the incredible MJ Rodriguez, who she and I actually had met about a year earlier, I think, through a mutual friend. And so we had hung out for a little while. So we were, you know, we'd known each other. So it was really, really fun to get to work together and just to be a part of that show that I think is just so incredible. And also like just the vibe on set, like one of the days I was working, they had found out that they got nominated for the Emmy, and like just like the love and the like excitement and like everyone just, you know, crying and being so happy. It was just to be able to experience that was incredible because there's so much love on that set and in that group. So it's really, I'm so glad to be a part of that.
Oh, that sounds amazing. It's always amazing to hear those behind the scenes stories, because especially that episode, it looks like everyone's just having a great time. Like there's bright colors and a beach day and ladies night out. And it's just, it's a fun time. And to hear that they were actually having fun on the set, just chef's kiss.
Yeah, I love them. I can't speak enough good words about that group of people.
Yay. Oh, I love to hear that. And a group of people I would love to show my love to are the Showtrions, who are showing up here. I see all the comments on YouTube. Eva saying, hey, Andy waving, and Julie. Yes, love all of y'all. The Showtrions are so cool. It's the B-Way Show Patreon squad, and we do like Yeah, and we finally won our second trivia night a few days ago, and it feels very, like, I don't know if you are trivia people, but when you beat out, like, 10 other teams, it's very satisfying.
We are not, but that would be hilarious to do, actually.
A trivia thing?
Yeah, we wouldn't know anything, though. I would only have to do, it would have to be about dogs. That'd be it. That's the only category I would.
Dogs and Hamilton,
we could do that.
We could crush it.
I love that. If I ever see a Sporkle Live with dogs and trivia, I will take part and I'll send it your way.
Sounds perfect.
Good. Sounds good. Much appreciated.
Yes, anytime. So with the last few minutes, I'd love for y'all to just share if there are anything that people should be keeping an eye out for, where they can find you on social media, and if there's anything you came into today wanting to make sure your fans heard.
Something's coming. Just keep an eye on the social media.
Yeah, we're working on a really cool project together at the moment, which is to be announced soon. I am, of course, about to host Broadway Treats. That is on September 20th. You can find the link at alrcares.com/Broadway Treats or at my Instagram, which is at Lexa Cepeda, so it's my name without the A at the beginning, or you can find me through Austin's because I take most of his pictures. And
I mean,
you just find me there.
Most of what you see, like my social media, that looks nice. Not all of it, but I mean, you know.
Anyhow, that's anyway, what I've got going on.
You can follow me at AustinScott93. Just keep an eye out there for announcements and things like that.
What do we want people to know? Oh, vote. Register to vote. And wear a mask and continue your anti-racism work and support this amazing YouTube channel.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
It was fun.
I appreciate that so much. And yes, all of those co-sign, retweet, please be safe and kind to one another. And like, there are so many cool masks out there that you can go. Actually, my friend Andy, who's watching right now, her mom made me a few of them, which was so kind. So thank you.
Word. Yeah. Absolutely.
Y'all.
Co-sign retweet.
Thank you. Vote. Yes, indeed. And thank y'all. You can find me at B-Way Show on all the things, and I'd love to hear from you. Oh, and exciting new thing, just to make sure y'all hear, B-Way Show, the podcast, is live. So y'all can check that out. Mr. Joe Iconis and Lauren Marcus were the first episode, and Anissa Folds was the second. Check it out. Thank you both so, so much. And thanks everyone for watching. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the fourth episode of B-Way Show, the podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe so you can be a spy on the inside for future episodes. To see the look on their faces when they thought I saw Billy Joel with Lin-Manuel Miranda and all the other fabulous moments from our conversation, head over to B-Way Show YouTube. Thanks as always to Kyle Braxton, aka Geddon, for these awesome beats, Jelani Remy for the beautiful intro riff, and Chelsea Hill, aka Illustrating Diva, for the cool cover art. If this was your jam, you can become a Showtreon. Head over to patreon.com/bwayshow. We do weekly trivia and monthly video chats. It's a fun time. Come check it out. We don't know the future of live theater or when Broadway will be back, but we do know it's on all of us to get through this pandemic. Wear a mask, be safe, and let's take care of ourselves. We'll see you at the show.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.